Here comes John the Baptist. He's going to set the stage for the coming of Jesus. John came to announce that hope was on the way. And I want you to pay close attention when we're reading this scripture today. There's something interesting in it, I think. Matthew, who wrote this scripture, wants to make sure that everyone who hears John believes him. And therefore, he points out that Isaiah actually prophesied that John would come and prepare the way. Matthew essentially helps his primarily Jewish audience connect the prophets of old with this new prophet, John, who's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Matthew is making this intellectual argument. Is my tie straight? Some people are looking at me funny. Matthew is making an intellectual argument to these Jews that, hey, you believed in the prophets of old. They prophesied that John would come. This is a very intellectual exercise Matthew's going through in his text, and it's important to note that. You've got to believe in John, and you've got to believe in Jesus. That's the argument that Matthew sets up. And remember, primarily Jews who were first hearing the words of Matthew. Let's read from chapter 3. Years later, John the Baptist started preaching in the desert of Judea. He said, "Turn back to God. Metanoia. Repent. The kingdom of heaven will soon be here." John was the one the prophet Isaiah was talking about when he said, "In the desert, someone is shouting, 'Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him.'" John wore clothes made of camel's hair. He had a leather strap around his waist and ate grasshoppers and wild honey. From Jerusalem and all Judea and from the Jordan River Valley, crowds of people went to John. They told him how sorry they were for their sins, and he baptized them in the river. Many Pharisees and Sadducees also came to be baptized. But John said to them, "You bunch of snakes, who warned you to turn from the coming judgment? Do something to show that you've really given up your sins, and don't start telling yourselves that you belong to Abraham's family. I tell you that God can turn these stones into children for Abraham. An axe is ready to cut the trees down at their roots. Any tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water so that you will give up your sins. But someone more powerful is going to come. I'm not good enough even to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His threshing fork is in his hand, and he is ready to separate the wheat from the husks. He will store the wheat in a barn and burn the husks in a fire that never goes out." The word of God for the people of God. I know it'll come as a great surprise to you, but there's nothing in the Bible about buying presents in preparation for Jesus' birth. And John the Baptist does not say to go on a shopping spree anywhere in the text. What he does say is for you to wait. Anybody like to wait? Not too many people like to wait. A thing that I've realized over the years is that commercialized, materialistic Christmas is not all that for me. I don't enjoy spending money I don't have to buy presents that no one asked me for, but I just think they need. It doesn't make my Christmas for me. If I get a bunch of stuff, that doesn't really make my Christmas for me. I've got to figure out how to cut through all of the things going on around me and focus on the reason for the season. Remember the purpose of Christmas. I do like to give. That's an important part of having Christmas, is giving to others. So I mean, I'm not against presents. This is your second time to hear this sermon, and it was pointed out to me that you might have thought that I was against presents. Okay, all right. John, though, wants you to prepare for the coming of Jesus. Prepare as we do it today, celebrating for Christmas, by turning around and repenting. We want to talk about that today. So as we begin, think about you turning around and maybe the world being turned around on its axis. I must be very careful with these magnets around the computer, but, you know, I don't want the world pushing. I want the world to come together. How can we do that? When I read this story, I can easily imagine myself standing in line at the creek down the hill for John the Baptist to baptize me, and him calling me out of line like a Pharisee or a Sadducee and saying to me, "Hey, are you following the law too closely, directly, word for word, instead of the heart of the law?" Maybe you can imagine yourself in that situation as well. John didn't think that they were really ready to change their ways and repent because of this very thing. They believed in the letter of the law and not the heart of it. We learn from John and his preaching here at the beginning of this gospel that it wasn't enough just to follow the law. You had to actually get up off your duff and do something. You had to make the world a better place. You had to share. In order to turn your life around, that's what it was all about. John was challenging the religious leaders then and us now to mean what we say. He's calling them into a new ministry, just like we were called into a new ministry when at our baptism. Do something different. Turn your life around. I'm reminded of a story I heard many, many years ago. It may have even been my own father who preached it. There was a big convention in Philadelphia, and the subject of the convention was mass evangelism, trying to get people to come to church. And the speaker of the day invited his worship leader to go with him outside a couple hours before the evening session started at 7 o'clock. And he stood on the steps and sang, and people started gathering around, and this preacher, Dr. Moody, preached the gospel to them. And people gathered around, and he said, "Hey, come on with me." And they went into the convention hall and filled it up. And he was preaching the gospel, and the time came at 7 o'clock, and the convention people started coming in and had nowhere to sit. And Dr. Moody said, "You know, we're going to have to stop now because the people who are attending the convention have come to talk about evangelism." Dr. Moody showed them what evangelism was in that time when he lived. There's a lesson in that story, and there's a lesson here. Last week, we spent all the time we needed, and believe me, a lot of people spent a lot of time before last week struggling over the ministry plan. What are we going to do in ministry in 2018? The time for talking is over. We had the vote, didn't we, Reggie? We voted. We voted. The talking is over. It's time now to go out into the world and share that hope that we have been called to show the world that hope is on the way. So what are we waiting for, right? Maybe we ought to be doing ministry like we expected John the Baptist to dunk us in the creek and baptize us with fire. Maybe we ought to have that kind of fire in us when we're out in the world sharing. There's a lot of hope in these harsh words of John in this gospel. The Israelites had been waiting and waiting and waiting for this time to come. And John was telling them that they were right there. It was going to happen right then. Think about it. Last week, Jesus himself, in the text we read, was preaching about getting ready to do ministry. And today, John is telling you how to go out into the world and do that ministry and show the world that hope is on the way. There's an encouraging message for us in Matthew 3. John called for the people to turn their lives around, and he was essentially saying that something was wrong with the way they were doing religion. And I want to ask you that same question. Do you think there's something wrong in the world that we live in today? I mean, what would you point to? Would it be, you know, greed or envy or the accumulation of wealth by just a few? There are some things that we can change in our own personal lives. There's something you can do this week, probably each day, that would show the world that it is not about repelling, but about coming together and attracting the love of God, sharing the hope that Jesus Christ came to share, because hope is on the way, and it's coming for us in the acts that we do for one another this week. It's coming to us as we celebrate our Savior's birth this month, and it comes when we go out into the world and do the work of Christ and share the message of hope and peace and love and justice. Amen. Amen. We come to a time of invitation.